You're listening to the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast, where we talk about hunting, politics, sports, and everything in between. Now, here's your host, Steve West.
Okay. All right. I mean, in all seriousness, like what you're talking about, like podcast, so I looked it up while you were.
Yeah,
you
know, Bob Lazar recording. is on.
Joe Rogan Experience.
Yep.
Yeah. Podcast number 1315.
Yep.
I wonder if that means 1,315 podcasts. If it is, that's a load.
I think it is what it means.
Yeah.
But it's the crazy. And maybe I'm late to the game because this was like a year or two ago, but it is a crazy podcast. A must watch.
Yeah, Bob Lazar.
Yep.
And what's the other name? And Jeremy Corbell. 1982. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, this guy.
So Jeremy creates a documentary based on Bob Lazar's, you know, what he did in his life and about it. And that's why he's there. But really, he's a guest on Joe Rogan talking about how he used to work on UFOs just south of Area 51. Wow. And it's craziness. And it talks about how they're trying to like create ways to manage and create and harness gravity and how much of a game changer that was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, as you can tell, we've already started recording the podcast. We were just chatting and literally we had just sat down and Travis starts yapping about this Joe Rogan podcast he watched and how incredible and mind blowing it was. And, you know, for anybody out there who doesn't believe in UFOs, I mean, obviously you have a right to be skeptical. It sounds like it's way out there.
Yeah. And there's some conspiracy theorists and theories and all that kind of stuff, but it's really worth the listen or the watch.
Well, I mean, look, even if you don't think it's real, maybe listen to it to expand your mind just because you don't agree or whatever. I mean, you might hear something that just, like I said, blows your mind, you know?
Yep.
I know that I'm going to watch it tonight. How long was it?
It's like a little over 2 hours, so it's long, but
I got time to kill. At night when I'm just relaxing, that's a great way to just chill.
For sure.
But that's a blast.
And it gets better as it goes. Like, it starts off that, because it starts off when he was just, like, his history in the 1980s, and then it gets all the way up, and it gets really good. It's worth hanging in there. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, today we got a great show. I got a good friend of mine, Jaime Lima, and his, I've called employer, Alex Livingston from Jewel Case. They're going to be joining us on the show today to talk about their like battery systems. And we actually charge up and run our podcast studio. Like I said, it should be noted, like literally right now we're powering our podcast studio using our own personal Jewel Case that I bought last year.
But
it was like a must purchase for me because we were having power outages and I didn't necessarily want to have a great big old generator fire up, although that you can have one that's seamless and nice. It'll run for a few days on a big tank of fuel or even longer. But just to have like an instant plug into something, I ran my house earlier, I guess it was late last year when we had those power outages due to bad weather and stuff. I actually just plugged my house into this thing. And I mean, we ran the microwave and the TV and, you know, satellite dish. I mean, we lived life normal. We were the only lights on the block. And it was because I had a Jewel Case and I really wanted to, you know, and I've got it. So like if our power goes out here, it's here at the podcast. So I plug our office into it and run for a bit. And I thought, I've been thinking about all the ways that this type of a power source would benefit people in the outdoors, whether you're hunting, fishing, camping, backpacking, RVing, whatever it might be. Having power somewhere is kind of convenient and nice. And and you can go off the grid with this thing if you have a solar panel.
Because essentially it's just a portable power source.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's rechargeable.
Right.
Yeah. So it's one of those just really neat things. And, you know, and like I said, now that we have it, you know, if we go someplace that's like to Wyoming trailhead camp or something like that, you take this with you. No one has to fire up the generator. You can recharge the camera batteries, laptops, any other devices, iPhones, whatever it might be. You charge it all up just right off of that. And you can charge it like that brick that we've got right now. You could go a whole 10 days like, and what little stuff we use in a camp. I mean, and run a light in your tent. I mean, it'd be easy for a week. And so it's going to be pretty cool. And I also heard they have a more compact version coming out now. So I'm really eager to talk to him about that. And like I said, my buddy Jaime Lima, we go back. I posted a photo of him today with all the ducks and geese and stuff. It was like him and I and a couple of the other boys.
Yeah, I saw that photo.
Dave and Adrian, you know, I mean, that was a badass. That was a badass hunt. Yeah. I mean,
there's some geese in that photo too.
We laid down the ducks and the geese, boys. Let me tell you something. We might as well have it. I mean, those guys could probably run a belt fed shotgun and lay it down. No problem.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, it was a badass hunt. And I just, when I was thinking of Jaime, I thought of that photo and wanted to post it going into today's podcast recording. And we're also going to have Tucker Johnson from Eberly Stock on the show. I want to find out what new packs and products are coming available. I want a status on the new Eberle stock clothing line.
Yep.
I mean, I know you got a jacket, right? Or yep. vest. Yeah, I've got a jacket.
Couple packs.
I'll bring it up later, but like when they first launched that clothing line, I loved the jacket. Jacket fit great and everything else. They got me to put on the pants and I felt like I was in a Def Leppard concert. Mm. I mean, let's just say there wasn't a whole lot left to the imagination.
Yeah.
If I'd have done a high leg kick with like a guitar or an axe or something, I definitely would have split the seams. Yeah.
I really like the material though.
I love the material. Yeah. I mean, it was stretchy. Like I said, I felt like I was in a 1988 music video, it was like wearing skin tight leather pants.
Yeah. But well-made stuff.
Well-made, extremely well-made, nice stuff. And like most things, product lines develop to fit the customer base. Mm-hmm. And that was just the prototypes I was trying on
at the time. Yeah.
Like right at the beginning. And so today's show should be a lot of fun. I mean, after the first commercial break, we're going to start bringing these guys on the show and we're going to have some fun. We're going to chat with these guys and learn a lot about their product lines. But, you know, the one thing I want to chat with you about, I mean, you're getting a few phone calls here this week because this week we're airing the North Carolina Bear. Yeah, the North Carolina Black Bear Hunt.
Yep.
And I've got some great feedback from people. Of course, everybody thinks that the biggest black bears in the world are in their state because an 800-pounder was killed once in Pennsylvania, California, I had one guy say, "You're wrong. The biggest bears are in North Carolina." I was like, "Isn't that the show we're airing this week?" But, I think there's a great message in the program, honestly. It's like, they're big there because they never hibernate.
Yep.
They're big by body weight in North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. So what I was going to say is it depends on what you use as judging what you consider big. You know, is it skull size? Is it weight of the bear? Is it square footage? What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they don't hibernate, they get to eat and their food sources are...
But they don't square any bigger. That's the thing.
Boy, that's what I'm getting at.
So a square, when you cape them all out, lay them on the ground and you spread out their legs and... You measure from the nose to the tail and then from the claw to the claw on the front paws, right? And then you add that together, divide by two, and that's your square. So if he's 7 feet long, 7 feet wide, he's 7 feet squared. Right. Well, the bears in North Carolina square about the same as the biggest bears I've ever hunted. The biggest black bears I've ever hunted were in coastal BC, actually Queen Charlotte Islands.
Yeah.
I said that all along for years. Coastal BC, or specifically the Queen Charlotte Islands, which are no longer open to hunting, that's where the biggest black bears on average in North America were. I mean, I killed one that's 1 inch short of an 8-foot squared bear. When I have him mounted someday, he's going on a grizzly form. He's been wet tanned in the freezer for way too long. Yeah. It's time to bust him out. And honestly, when I think about that bear, I'm like, damn, there's nothing to be that big. But he probably didn't weigh as much as this bear that I shot in North Carolina. Or if he did, he weighed pretty close to it. But he had a 22-inch skull.
Yep.
Yeah, he was 1 inch short of being 8 feet squared. He was a toad of a bear. Now all of a sudden I go to North Carolina and they're like, these are the biggest black bear. And sure enough, it was a big bear. But he's not going to square anymore because his belly's just so big. Like his belly was dragging on the ground. Yep. I mean, so I think that North Carolina
has the heaviest bears.
They're the biggest by weight. Yep. And they also get good age on them. I think they got pretty good skull sizes there too. I still haven't measured my skull. Someone said it was like over 20 inches, but when it gets here, I'll measure it. I'll have it measured or something and we'll figure it out. But the reality is that I think that they're the biggest bears by weight.
Yep.
And the biggest bears by square, probably in some other places, or about the same.
About the same.
I'd love to see some statistics on some of those things, but I don't know. What feedback are you getting? People talking about it much?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely where a lot of people think, that, to your point, where the biggest bears live.
Yeah.
And I have that same conversation that you just talked about. And really, it depends on the style that they want to hunt and where they live, right? Because a lot of people that live in the East Coast, it's an easy travel destination. It's for big bears. It's an upscale hunt. And there's a lot of people that have interest in doing that hunt. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah. I really like the idea of just adding yet another destination to what we do at Steve's Outdoor Adventures. But I guess the biggest deterrent to guys going to North Carolina is going to be the cost.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're hunting some place with giant bears, they know it. They're giant bears. They're only going to take a few hunters. You're talking about fairly wealthy landowners that don't need the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And you're $15,000 to $20,000 for a black bear hunt.
Yeah.
You can go to coastal BC and shoot two bears and do the hunt back-to-back years and spend less money.
Yep.
So, and shoot four bears total over a two-year period of time.
Yep.
Are you going to get a North Carolina bear? No.
Yep.
But you're certainly going to have an opportunity to get damn good bears,
Again, it just comes back to what's most important about the hunt for you, what the experience you're looking to have. If you want that upscale, right? Kind of premier that everybody talks about, North Carolina 500 plus pound bear, then that's the hunt, but it's going to cost some money.
I'll tell you right now, I'm like thinking about you. You and I were talking to a guy yesterday that's got an area in BC that we need to go recon.
Yep.
And I'm thinking about doing that because you're doing Saskatchewan and Alberta. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, okay, I might have to get the jab and go north.
And go up there.
Yeah. Something. I mean, I'm weighing it out. I was hoping it would go away. But if I want to go to Argentina next month, if I want to go to British Columbia in May, mm-hmm. if I want to go do some of these trips.
And I don't really see it changing in the next months.
Or a few years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is something that's going to stick around for quite a while.
Yeah.
A few years minimum. So I'm thinking I'm probably gonna have to go get the Johnson & Johnson jab so I can go, because they're saying that they haven't hunted that area. No one's hunted that area for years for black bears.
Yeah. Could more than 2 years.
Yeah. Like five or eight or something like that.
Could be some tanks in there.
Some hooters, big old hooter bears up there. Yeah. Yep. So my thinking right now is I'm probably going to start leaning that direction.
Yep.
You know, run in on a Friday or something and get the stick, you know, spend the weekend pissed off at the world, get over it. You know, come to work Monday morning. At least I don't have to think about it anymore. Yeah.
And maybe even do a hosted hunt. So keep your eyes and ears open out there, listeners.
That's kind of the thought, that we might host a hunt where, you know, three or four of our Steve's Outdoor Adventures fans or clients could book and join us. You might be a fan that becomes a client at that point. Join me in British Columbia for what should be a hell of a hunt.
Yeah.
Could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Could be a lot of fun. So, but just bear hunts in general, I see the next 4 or 5 years. I mean, this 2 year carryover of bears, that's going to carry on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of older bears in the woods up there in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and British Columbia, because there haven't been any American hunters going up there and taking them. And that's where the bulk of your harvest is done, is by American hunters traveling to Canada and hunting. You know, that's the other thing about like North Carolina. You got an outfitter like the place I went, they're going to kill 6 bears a year with clients there. That's it.
Yeah,
huge place. They want to grow. They're trying to get to where they can guarantee somebody a 600 pound bear. That's all they care about. Wait. And we might go someplace in BC that takes 40 hunters and kills 50 or 60 bears, but they got 10,000 square miles to hunt.
A lot more massive land area.
Yeah. I'll bet that coastal BC area is probably the size of Rhode Island or something. It looks huge.
Yeah, it is huge.
Yeah.
The other thing that's unique, you know, that's unique and different about black bear hunting is because they hibernate, and they haven't been hunted for, you know, 2 years for sure in these areas. And they're not affected by like tough winters because they're hibernating anyways. Right.
Yeah.
So a 5-year-old bear is now going to be 7, or in the next year, 8. And then these 8-year-olds are now 10 or 11. And that just means bigger, more age on them and better trophy caliber.
Did you guys ever bring a bear in whole up in Canada, like in Alberta, Saskatchewan, or did you guys gut them in the field?
We broke them down in the field.
You did.
Yeah.
So that's just it. Everybody's always asking me, oh, how much do these bears weigh? How much do they weigh? I don't know, 200, 300, 400 pounds. I mean,
yeah,
maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah. There's no way to get a weight.
Well, I've been to camp that had actually a scale that we used. And I think my bear was just over, on a spring bear, was just over 300 pounds. And one of our clients, Josh's, actually was like 3 1/4. But you have to understand, in May in northern Alberta, that bear will put on 100 pounds by the fall.
Yeah.
So that's like a 400 or 425 pound bear in North Carolina standard. So
yeah.
Still really, really big bear.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how much body weight bears lose when they go in the den every year.
And vice versa, how much they're going to put on by the fall.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I'll tell you, one of the things that I like to urge everybody to do is, you know, what we're talking about here on the show is something that you can get in like a one-on-one consultation with us. All you got to do is call the office. I mean, it's 1-800-303-1304. Same phone number we put out in the television series every week. That's what we do. We talk to people about going on these hunting trips with outfitters and guides all across North America, and realistically, even around the world, because Argentina, New Zealand, I mean, all these places. God, I hope New Zealand opens up someday. And, you know, that's what we do, and we encourage people. Reach out to us, because we can consult you one-on-one. We just had a conversation with a guy that was like, hey, I want to spend a fortune on an archery elk hunt. And, you know, and I talked him out of it for a few years because I needed to be his hunting consultant, tell him the truth, maybe tell him something that he didn't necessarily want to hear, but he listened, and he took it to heart, and he – now we're going to do right by this guy and show him a great hunting experience. He's going to have a lot of information. Yep. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have Jaime and Alex from Jewel Case on the phone. And we're going to hear a lot about this new product line that they're coming out with. I'm really excited about. So We'll be right back.
This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Marathon Seat Covers. We've got you covered.
Hey, everybody, we're back here in the studio at the table we call Clark, because it looks like Lake Clark. I'm here with my good friend and hunting consultant, Travis Price from the Steve's Outdoor Adventures office. And on the line, we have Jaime Lima and Alex Livingston from Jewel Case. Hey, guys, how are you guys doing today?
Doing solid, my dude. How about yourself?
You know, 1,000 miles an hour. We never slow down. So I understand you guys are pretty busy over there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. The festival season, you know, has come to an end, but now instead we're busy with new equipment launch and engineering things, and at the same time getting ready for this next event season. So there's a little bit of work here behind the curtain, behind closed doors, and new tech and new generation of equipment, while still getting ready to be powering and replacing generators all over the place.
Wow! Right on, right on. Well, we've been Jaime and I have hunted together, and we've been friends for a long time. And when Jaime called me, I was last year, and we were shooting the burrito. I was like, "What do you mean you're doing that now?" He started telling me all about it. I was like, that's something I've actually been looking for. A portable power source that, I could recharge with solar or wind, a lot of different, ways to, get it charged up, plug it in at the house, charge up, take it with me, go to camps with it, use it as a power source backup here for, the office. We run the podcast studio on if we need to. We have a lot of things we can do. And when Jaime explained all of that to me, I don't know, would it take me like 40 minutes of that and you had me sold. So, and I have not regretted it for 1 second. It's been a great tool for us. I ran my house on it last year when we had a power outage for 2 full days. Granted, I told Jody not to do the laundry or something, I was like, keep it to a minimum, but we microwaved food. We, watched satellite television. Lord knows she leaves the lights out in the house all the time. And I was surprised, 2 full days. So I can only imagine that I could run a camp on it, or at least my wall tent or my Alaskan, bomb shelter tent in the middle of nowhere for 10 days or more. So congrats to you guys on all of that and bringing something to the market. Alex, how'd you guys get started? I guess, what was your calling, so to speak, to start this new venture? I mean, you're one of the co-founders. I mean, what inspired you to start this company and go this direction?
Well, Steve, I'm really happy to hear that you guys were able to use Jewel Case really in the best application. You bought it for one purpose and you found a half a dozen other things that would meet your needs. That was the whole design intent. So my background is a product developer, consumer electronics, long time. I worked for Sharp Electronics, worked in software, hardware, medical devices. But really the approach to this product and what we wanted to bring out for everybody was I wanted the same experience from a smarter device. Look, gasoline's great. I love drag racing. I love four buying. I love flying. But what we've been able to do is take a piece of technology and optimize it efficiently. And I needed to create a similar experience where I would be able to add more energy and more power based on a need. That need's constantly changing. And as a product developer, you're always told, build it to fit in certain buckets. Build a product that exactly fits in a certain bucket. And that's just not efficient if you're looking at how a user consumes power. So we decided to change that model and say, I need to be able to add more energy. I need to be able to add more power and then take those things away. So to use that same term, it's a Lego block of system. You can design whatever you want it for, because your needs should always be changing. So from a product development standpoint, that was my calling. I love blowing up dinosaurs, but I want to blow up dinosaurs in the best possible way. I want to do it on ATVs. I want to do it in dually pickup trucks. But when I want to use energy efficiently and however I need it, I want to be very precise with that. So that was pretty much the impetus behind it, is just a better way to use fuel.
Gotcha. And for those of you that don't get the whole blow up dinosaurs, it's fossil fuels, right? Oil, gas, diesel. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So for the guy out there and he's sitting in his house going, dinosaurs, who's blowing up dinosaurs? We're talking about fossil fuels. And I like the design where I think I've got, what do you call them? Leafs, or levels, like what do you call the individual? Like mine's got four of those battery packs, so to speak, that I can stack, like you said, like Legos.
Every unit's a module. So we module. Have control modules and battery modules.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got the one control module on top, and then I've got four battery modules underneath it. And, you know, I could take two if I went somewhere. I could take one. I could take all four. You know, I do like that where I can take what I feel like I need and then use it appropriately. So, no, so, it's badass.
So, Alex, it's Travis here. I have a question for you. So when I start thinking of portable power sources, right, I think, how can I use this device, you know, off-grid and specifically hunting camp? So is there a way to, like, recharge the power, or how does that work when you're off-grid?
Absolutely. So from a fundamental technology standpoint, we wanted to be able to safely integrate anything that you could put on that same DC bus. So if it's a couple of portable solar arrangements, I don't want to put you into a closed loop where you're forced to buy our solar panels. As long as we can get within the same DC range, you can put solar in, portable wind in. I've seen some pretty cool products out recently. I think one's called like a lily pad, and you throw it in the stream and it's going to spin up DC and put it back into a battery system. So we want to make it just as flexible to get an electron in as you possibly can. Just whatever your need is, let's make it simple and easy. We're not here to try to sell you on some other integrated platform. Let me give you a resource, a bucket to put energy in, and a way to get that energy in and out.
Got it.
Perfect.
Got it.
Well, Travis, I wanted to add to this.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, we can also charge all the devices via AC, right? So Alex is talking about DC. So for you guys' audience, you know, direct current. So we're talking about, you know, hooking up via Anderson cable into solar panels and everything else that he was talking about. But you can also, you know, plug these bad bitches right into the grid, right? So if you leave them charging at home, off of the, you know, the connector right there at home, you know, you're good to go the next day, and you take them out and ready, it's ready for adventure. So
perfect.
It doesn't have just this like prepper alone and unafraid, you know, use, which is good for, but there's also this whole like, oh, I kept this bad boy charged at home. And all of a sudden, you know, the power goes out and I don't want my elk meat, my deer meat, you know, the venison, et cetera, to go bad. No big deal, man. You plugged in your freezer, you plugged in the Wi-Fi, you plugged in the laptop, you know, the satellite phone, whatever it is that you need to, you know, to get you going. And then you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, because, you know, the ability to just have it charged, like we keep it plugged in here at the office, keep it charged up. If we need to move, like if, when the office goes dead, you know, yep. The next, you know, weather, you know, storm or some idiot drives into a power pole or whatever it might be.
Which has happened.
Yeah, multiple times. you know, that's why we can plug right in and go. And I think we could get 2 days on the office, especially if we could, like, I don't know, out here the wind blows enough. I need to just put up a damn, you know, turbine out there, wind turbine, and just generate our own power. But the reality is that as long as we could charge it during the day with some solar or something, we might even get a third day out of it. So,
yeah.
You know, I heard about a new product line coming out that you guys are calling Sigma. Look, this unit I've got now with these four battery modules, I mean, it's not light. Like, it's not something that's, you know, tuck it under your arm and haul ass with it. I mean, you got to, you know, nut up and grab that big stack and take her out there to the truck. And it's handy and it's easy enough for a guy my size to move it around. But what is Sigma? Is it smaller? You know, tell me more about this because I'm hearing all the rave about it.
Well, Steve, Sigma is everything that we've ever learned about portable power systems applied to a specific device. And importantly, a lot of the technology that's leveraged in this product comes from the head of Apple's battery division. So the guy that was building all the battery management systems for one of the largest consumer electronics device companies on the planet that's relied on every day by at least half the population of the United States, like that guy has redesigned the guts and the brains behind the portable product that we're bringing to market. But what this is fundamentally is the easiest way to push in energy, to get power out, to do anything you can possibly. So the units that you have today, we want to legacy those for them. We care so much about the legacy of power that we're bringing that we'll constantly carry forward any device that we put out. So we offer a fantastic warranty across our products, and we carry forward for the life. So you can take those same four battery modules that you have, the same power control module that you have, and upgrade that along with Sigma. What Sigma does is we have a level of controls. So we've had customers out in the field. They've accidentally connected up their diesel 24-volt starting motor to a 12-volt side of things. That'll turn our battery management system off. It doesn't wreck your product, but it puts it into a safe mode. And then your current product that you have today will eventually go into safety, turn itself back on when it can. But with Sigma, we don't turn on any of the power management side of things until our devices have connected safely. So there's no possibility of short circuiting if you take it out in the rain. So you're going out, you're going hunting, you're putting it in water, you're putting it in mud. There's no active current that's going to be out there. What we've also done is we've slimmed those packs down. So we've been able to increase the total energy density by about 50%. So we've added 50% more stuff in a slimmer package. Every single unit has hand carryable handles. And then you have a screen readout with Bluetooth capabilities. So you know exactly what's going on with your devices at any point in time. What that means is if you're running a ranch, if you're running a far out area, you get immediate access to your power and your energy, and you know what's going on with it. But from a life cycle standpoint, we're exceeding anything that we've seen in the market. So today, Jewel Case is already benchmarking above our competition for life cycle, right? If I've got something that competition says I can run it 500 times before it breaks, we're already at 1,200. What we're able to extend right now with our software and our controls is we're benchmarking up to 10,000 cycles in that device. That means that thing's going to last with 30 years of daily operation, Steve.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So that's what you're talking about, like cycle life or the life is how many times can you charge it up and wear it out, right?
Precisely.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
So reliability is so important to us.
Yeah.
So
and Steve, just to paint a picture, you know, because words do have meaning. So our current generation of equipment and Sigma as well, you know, so we have our patent modular design. And what that means, you know, to everybody that is listening, we're talking about the Legos, right? So these just think about like electrical Lego pieces. So a control module and a 1,000 watt hour battery for like the current generation of equipment that we have, which is what you have right now in your studio. I mean, that's not very heavy. If we were to round down, we're talking about like about 20 pounds.
Gotcha.
Right. So that's a 1,000 watt hours of energy and 1,200 watts of power immediately available to you. So what Sigma is doing, Sigma is giving you more power. So now we're looking at what are we looking at? 1,500 watts.
1,500 watts
on the inverter. You know
the no that so the new inverter is 3,000 watts.
Oh, excuse me, right?
Oh yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So you were talking about being able to run your dryer. I don't know if your wife is finally deciding that you're a little stinky. We can give you enough power to run that washer and dryer.
Yeah, man, you're getting that stunk out of you because now it can definitely run all that jazz. And then the battery modules themselves are a lot more powerful. So instead of like our benchmark 1,000 watt hour battery, which is or lighter, a smaller battery, now you're looking at starting at 1,500 watts, which is that's where I got my numbers confused right there. And then the next one, we're looking at 3,000 watt hours. So it's all very easy for somebody, you know, like you say, you know, you're a big guy, your audience knows that, they see you on your show and whatnot, but you know, like my little wife can do it. She just, you know, unstacks those bad boys, restack them back up whatever she needs the power, and she's ready to rock and roll.
Perfect. And then can you guys give our listeners and viewers a sense of the size of not only the Jewel Case but also Sigma? You know, I've seen the Jewel Case, but you guys talked a little bit about, you know, the weight of it and the power source, but especially for people who want to use it off grid, like can you clarify like the size of these devices?
Absolutely. So our standard physical size, the footprint of it is 17 inches by 10 and a quarter. So really a very personal, easy to handle width. So it's 17 inches wide where you're going to grab it from the handles. Every single module now has its own set of handles. So now you can break a unit apart. You've got a whole Sigma stack. You can disconnect these, grab every one. That's a 17-inch width grab. That's a really great width for just a typical grab and pickup. 10 1/4 inches deep. And then our standard module is about 3 3/4 inches tall. So we've slimmed it down from the 1,000-watt-hour units that you have now and elongated them slightly. And that's just a really great fit and feel. And again, at 1,500 watt hours, that's one of the most energy dense products on the market for its weight. And then life cycle, there's no one that touches this.
See, I'd fit better. What's that?
And to add on that, Travis and Steve, you really have the better story as far as like, you know, the real time application use for equipment, because you did it, you know, with the current generation, and it will be even easier to do with this next generation of equipment. And, you know, you and I discussed the case scenario, you know, both you and I being big into hunting, you know, so doing these Alaska hunts when you're really getting out, you know, out into the wild, right? So, you know, you're getting dropped off. And, you know, nobody wants to like pack a generator. Nobody wants to be packing fossil fuel. And it's not because necessarily you feel like you want to save the planet. It's just highly inconvenient, right?
Sure.
So you're going to have your pack animals. You want to be able to distribute your equipment. And again, I know I'm stealing your thunder a little bit, but one of the best stories that have been shared is like you being able to take the equipment out there into the middle of nowhere, you know, put it on some horses. And you have a couple of batteries on one horse. You've got a couple of batteries in a different horse. You get the control modules with one of your guys, perhaps yourself, and then another one on a different animal. And if you lose an animal, which it is possible, not that it happens very often, but you know, nature is a, you know, she's a fickle lady.
Nature's, you know, metal.
Nature is metal. You get to your destination and you can still power everything you need, right?
So yeah.
I know that sounds like a really big what if, but when we talk about it, and perhaps your audience, you know, can be familiar about that, you know, how many times you're hiking during archery season, right? So that's my jam, you know, the archery hunt. And you're getting out there, and next thing you know, you're like 4 hours into your trip, 4 hours into your hunt, into your hike, only to get to a spot. And next thing you know, like the wind blows and you can hear it out in the back. And like somebody brought like the smallest generator they could possibly bring with them up on their side by side and ATV, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that gal. You don't want to be that family. And I get it. You know, everybody does what they can with what they have. You know, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. But what I really like about our equipment is like, dude, instead of doing all of that, which is really a big pain in the ass, our equipment just takes out that from the equation. And then you're able to really not just have like a lifestyle and quality of life thing, you know, situation, but you are really maintaining, you know, like noise discipline. You're really maintaining like the environment in which you are embedded into, which is, you know, big thick in the timber, you know, you're looking for those walls, you're just trying to smell for that elk piss, you know, there's nothing makes us happier than, you know, that piss smell for the elk. And then, you know, and then you can get on target. Clearly I'm letting the elk freak out.
You don't need to smell like gasoline on your hands or your boots or something like that. I mean, that's the last thing you want to do is have that gas smell on you. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I've thought a lot about like remote outfitters and guides that run camps way off the grid, you know, wilderness areas where you can't have a generator by law. You know, you can't, that's a terrific solution for them, you know, but I'll tell you, I'm shocked. And I told you this once before, I'm shocked that a couple of RV companies have not hit you guys up to replace the old car style batteries or RV batteries that they use to charge up and down, because they suck. They don't last a long time. I want to know why an RV company hasn't picked you guys up. Even this big, heavy original first generation or whatever it was, you know, these modules with the, you know, control module on top of them. I mean, even that weight, you could put that in an RV and it wouldn't even be there.
You're getting Alex all spicy over here. So I'm going to let him take that for you. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, tell me why. What's that?
Historically, up until this point, we've really been focused on the individual consumer. We've not advertised, and we've not really described in any way, shape, or form that those same modules that you buy right now we can put together to run a giant stage, and we're doing it today. We run music festival stages with those same modules at 300 kilowatts of output, 208 three-phase, 480 three-phase. We just haven't had the time and opportunity to go and devote ourselves to that market. But I know that you've got a manufacturer near in town, right? You're out of LeGrand, so
yeah,
maybe we should go knock on some doors together.
You come down, I'll introduce you to them, because I think it's the perfect thing for them to put, and any manufacturer of an RV to put inside their units. I mean, if you're rolling a bumper pull trailer out that doesn't have a diesel engine to charge, you know, its battery system, even if it does, I mean, to have something like this in there is just critical. Yeah, I've thought long and hard about the RV situation, because it seemed like a no-brainer. If my house will run 2 days on this thing, an RV might run four or five. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me. And if you had a solar panel on the roof or out on the side of it, you know, you could literally be off-grid in an RV indefinitely. Yeah. It just seems like a no-brainer. So, yeah, you guys come over. I'll introduce you to the guys out at Outdoor RV. But, I mean, more importantly, I mean, even RV sales places. Like, if you found the right sales guy at an RV place that could add it.
Yeah, it's like, do you want fries with that kind of thing?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, this is the milkshake, not the French fries. I mean, this is like, why not?
Ooh, exactly. Thick,
right? Chocolate with malt, right? Yeah. And damn, now I want one. Anyway, why not have this unit available as like an a la carte item, whether from the manufacturer or on the retail end or whatever it might be? It's like, it's such a no brainer because the old car battery style is outdated. I remember Jody and I had an RV for a while, and I hated it because if you went off grid for more than a day, you had to fire up the generator and you had to charge it up or run on it all night. And it was just a pain in the butt. Yeah. And realistically, something like this would have changed everything with regard to how we used that.
Yeah, man, you go to an RV park and you got like, you know, first row seats to the freaking, you know, generator orchestra, and that's not a good time, right? Like,
no.
I mean, you're out there and you're like, oh yeah, I'm out here in nature, but you got the kids and they want to like watch the YouTubes and whatnot and all these other jazz, and it just becomes a big pain in the dick. Yeah. But yeah, this ties to another thing that I'm going to get ahead of Alex over here because he's incredibly humble about it. You know, we've been having the discussion about the direct-to-consumer units, and we're talking about Sigma a little bit, which we're very excited about. And, you know, and it's slick, it's sexy, and it's going to do all these other things that our current equipment, you know, does, but just better. But then there's the other side of the business, which, you know, Alex was just talking about. You know, the Jewel Case, the company, started by powering events.
Yeah.
And events, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, like your auntie's barbecue out in the backyard, which is nice. You know, we can do that too. But we're talking about the oomph, you know, like we're talking about
Bon Jovi.
The big band, you know, we're talking about the DJ sets, you know, like thousands of people out. We just did EDC over in Las Vegas. You know, it's one of the largest like electronic music festivals in the country. I mean, you're powering a small town.
Yeah.
So that's really, you know, like that's the foundation of Jewel Case. So doing this direct to consumer units have really been, you know, while still being, it has been challenging, it's also like not that big of a sweat, you know, for Alex and the team. The really cool thing, though, is like what you're mentioning with RVs, it's just how our equipment and the know-how of the team, you know, like can just, you know, take a turn and put its application into, you know, anybody that wants to be off grid, for example, or you don't want to be off grid because, you know, you're within the grid already and that's fine. Then we can be your backup, right? So we facilitate your backup power based on your, you know, like the solar profile, you know, the solar panel profile that your place might handle. And whether it's a business, whether it's residential, or whether, you know, all of a sudden you got some of these spots in which like, you're going to want to run like a bunch of food trucks out on a field. I mean, we are developing solutions. We're developing options in which like, you're not going to have to have a bunch of like multiple generators by multiple food truck owners being running all at once. It could be just or batteries. And if you have solar, even great. But if you don't, then that's fine too. And then you don't have to worry about the noise. You don't have to worry about like purchasing like food while like, you know, the smell of fossil fuels in the background. And I know a lot of people might not care about that. But when you, and it sounds cheesy, but when you actually legit taste the difference, when all of a sudden you go to one of these festivals that we're powering, whether it's music, you know, we did a Goathead Festival out here in Boise where we're at. We did, you know, Tree Fort Music Festival. And then all of a sudden, like, all you listen to is music and people having a good time and nothing in the background going like, you know, like an oversized dildo.
Then
you're fine. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, like this is really freaking neat. Like this is pretty rad. So yes, we have our current, you know, generation of equipment that can do all these direct to consumer things. We got Sigma, which we're really excited, you know, on the pre-sale, and everybody can get on the website and start like pre-ordering, you know, their equipment. But at the same time, we're still, you know, cracking and popping with making sure that everybody in their residential and commercial needs, you know, can have the power backup or the off-grid options that they need. So it's just perfect. It's just really neat. We're not a one-trick pony. Yeah.
So that said, where can, you know, people find, or our listeners and so forth, find information, more information about your product lines and purchase them really? Where's all that information?
So currently you can go and buy through Camping World, our existing product line, 12 volt and 48 volt. And the 48 volt line through Camping World and on our website, jewelcase.com, JOULECASE.com, is all available at 12 volt and 48 volt lines. The Sigma product is now available for pre-order, $400 down, and that gets locks you in at a discount for a core stack of the Sigma product. Inverter module and two batteries, and that'll get you up and rolling right away. What Jaime forgot to mention is probably particular for your audience. I don't know. We got any Granger Smith fans out there? Any Yee Nation?
Oh, yeah, Granger Smith, man, he's down. Yee Yee.
Fucking A. Well, we didn't tell anybody, but for the Western Idaho Fair, we set up for 2 days, and the first day when Granger Smith rolled out to the Western Idaho Fair, we ran their whole initial set. Load in, load out for the first day at Idaho Power off the same set for the Western Idaho Fair.
Badass. So
the same batteries that you're buying and stacked together. It can stack small to large. That's the whole concept. So save that diesel for trucks. Save that gas for off-roading. That's our whole thing.
Right on. Right on. Well, you know, and as we talk about like this product line, I mean, it's the versatility of it. You know, Jaime, you touched on it before. It's like you bought something for one thing, or maybe it was you, Alex. You know, I bought something for one thing and I ended up finding a dozen uses for it. And, you know, I got it so that I could use it to power up our cameras and laptops and all that stuff when we go film on set somewhere that doesn't have power without having to worry about running a Honda generator, which sometimes is prohibitive to actually filming something while you're, you know, unless you want to hear that nice loud hum in the background. But the, you know, and all of a sudden I find myself backing up the power at my house, at the office, run the podcast studio on it. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of uses for it that people don't think about the versatility of something until they realize how much they can use it. And honestly, that's the thing that I've picked up on the most is that, honestly, we have more, you know, you know, I guess, you know, uses for this product line than I can even imagine. So, yeah, once you know somebody's trying to call in on that line at the exact same time, which is driving me nuts, I will call him back. Anyway.
That's well, good. He's trying to pre-order, Steve. You better take his number.
He just might be. Well, we're not live, so I don't think he's trying to pre-order at the moment. But I'm certain that people are going to want to pre-order. I mean, I think people are going to, once this power, you know, kind of catches on. My bet, honestly, is that, you know, that one of these RV companies, a big one's going to catch on. And you guys are going to be trying to figure out how to make, you know, thousands of these units, you know, in the very near future, because, you know, times are changing and people are thinking about things like what we've talked about today, like not having to listen to a diesel generator. Oh crap, I forgot the gasoline, or I just don't like the noise or the smell of the exhaust or whatever it might be. It's just such a superior option that I see nothing but a bright future for Jewel Case, and especially this new, you know, Sigma product line's coming along. And if you guys do want to come over and meet and greet at the guys out there at Outdoor RV, I'll be more than happy to make your acquaintance with the powers that be. And but you got to bring me a Sigma so I can at least look at it. Well, I want to see it, touch it, smell it. Yeah, I got to see it, touch it, smell it.
And you know, guys, like, I mean, this is not, you know, not to be a one-upper over here, but, you know, we're really talking about, like, you know, the micro level, you know, and then at the macro level, you know, like the bigger picture, and this is a conversation that we were having, you know, with one of the leaders, you know, over at Caterpillar here not that long ago, is, you know, the strain that a lot of things are going to put on the grid, right? And this is not to turn things dark or try to be like, oh, like, what if or whatever. But, you know, like, there's a lot of changes happening all at once, right? So a lot of what we do sometimes gets thrown under, like, oh, you know, like clean energy. And then somebody comes back, well, you still have to mine the lithium, you know, and they're like, motherfucker trucker, who do you think you're fooling? And, you know, what it really boils down to is not so much about the cars themselves. It's not so much about, like, the recycling of lithium, which is something that is fortunately finally happening, and especially when closing the loop, right? So it's getting reused. But the big ticket item is the strain on the grid, you know, and we live, you know, in this absolutely awesome SaaS country where, like, you know, it's you know, the states do their own thing, and, you know, not trying to get political here or anything like that, but, you know, every state does their own thing differently, right? So, you know, all the way from Oregon, all the way on the other side of the country, you know, in New York and the East Coast and things like that. But as we continue to grow the footprint of electrical vehicles and things like that, you know, those got to get charged from the grid. And can your grid, can your municipality, can your city, can your state handle that growth? And, you know, it's not something that a lot of people think about. It's something that we have to think about as a battery company. And it's something that, you know, we're working on options and potential solutions. And again, I'm not trying to paint this whole gloom and doom, because we are in the battery business. We are in the lithium business. And we want to make things better, especially when, you know, we're talking the comparison of, like, you know, electrifying everything compared to fossil fuels, you know, while still having fun, right?
Yeah.
But one of the things that are of concern, you know, to us is, like, as we continue to grow on, you know, on electrifying everything, is what is going to be the impact on the average, you know, persons, the average families, the average American's home. What was that going to do when all of a sudden, you know, Ford F-150s, you know, are all electric, you know, the most popular vehicle out there, and everybody's trying to, like, supercharge those bad boys, you know, like fast charge them. Well, you know, we are trying to come up with these solutions. We are trying to make sure that if you want to, you can be as power and energy independent as possible while, you know, having it be cost effective, you know, and this may be a separate conversation for a different time. Maybe, you know, like some months or a couple of years down the road, we get to have this conversation in your podcast still. But, you know, there's a more larger step into this, right? And again, sure, it's not like the whole gloom and doom, but there's a reason why a lot of, like, very conscious, smart people are prepped with our equipment.
Okay? Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying that it has to be like zombie apocalypse type thing. You know, that's
I was going to bring it up. No, I mean, honestly, Jaime, think about this. Someday when that zombie apocalypse happens and there's no power around the world and it's after dark and they're coming for you, and you want to be able to flip the switch, get the lights on that kill box so you can hit the belt feed and lay those bad boys down. I mean, it's, without that power, you're screwed.
I get it, Steve, but perhaps in a more family friendly, more realistic.
Yeah, I get it.
You need me to make you a rail gun, Steve? Okay,
right there. Okay, so wait a minute. Did you just offer to make me a rail gun?
I'm
going to
bring this back to reality right now. And everybody just calm down. But really, you know, like, just not, there's so many things that occupy or time and or brain capacity, right? So, you know, we're in the technology sector, we're in the lithium and battery sector, and people right now are concerned about the most basic of things, as they should, you know, maintaining a roof over their heads, making sure that they're feeding their families and themselves, and making sure there's safety around them, right? So nobody's checking on like, oh, like what's my grid's capacity within my municipality, within my city, within the state? And I get that. You don't have to do that. We live on that realm. And we are of the thought, though, that we don't want any of these bad things to happen. You know, we don't want these natural disasters to happen, whether you believe that global warming is a real thing or not. Just things are happening, and not all of them are good. So being prepared and having an option and a potential solution to all these things is where we come in.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have the direct-to-consumer units. We have the, you know, our current generation of equipment. We got the new generation coming out here. It's looking to be physically and everybody that's pre-ordered, you know, this summer. But on the other side of the hand, you know, just on the other side of the coin, excuse me, when we're talking about like powering events and things like that, you know, it is my hope and it's my wish that we're also having these conversations, like how we're making sure that, you know, when things go dark, no pun intended, that we're going to be able to make sure that you yourself can facilitate that light to your family, to your loved ones, to the people that you care about. So it's a pretty cool, impactful mission. We're working on it. We're doing all these things. So yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun to talk about like the outdoorsmen, you know, and outdoors women, outdoors ladies, you know, line of products in which like these applications, you know, work, you know, and they work at home too, and they do all this other stuff. But just know and understand that we're also working on this. You know, we're working on these bigger impact things. We're having conversations with the city over here on our end in Boise and trying to do what's best for everybody and not just for ourselves. Right, it matters on to me. And hopefully in one way or another, it will matter to all of you who are listening.
Well, without a doubt. You know, I mean, you hit around the money. It's about being prepared. There's a lot of bad things that happen in the world, whether we want them to or not, natural disasters. And when the lights go out, if you have a way to turn the lights back on, I know what it feels like. Like I said, when the power went out here, I was the only lights in the whole damn neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So,
dude, it's a big thing, man. I mean, you just look back a few years ago. Actually, I mean, you can even break it down into months, you know, and everybody in New Orleans, you know, when they get hit with that bad weather, I think everybody is under the impression that, you know, a lot of people can get out of the area of danger. You know, they can get out of the X, but that's not really the case. Not everybody can do that. And it's not because they don't want to. It could just be, you know, they're taking care of an elderly person or they themselves don't have the means to afford to like go and stay on a hotel a few counties down or whatever.
Sure.
It's just weird and it's just crazy, right?
Yeah.
And the sad truth about that, you know, because you see it on the TV, you know, you get like somebody gets rescued, you know, there's a flash flood or like there's all these, you know, floods and all these other things going on and they're up on the roof and then the Coast Guard shows up and saves them. There's only so much Coast Guard to go around, bro.
That's right.
And there's only so much Sheriff's Department. There's only so much the police department can do, you know, and a lot of it has to be on like, what do you have in place in order to be able to take care of yourselves?
Self-sufficient.
Yeah. And in this day and age, you know, like it's cool, man. Like you went to the store, you know, you got some bread, you got some cheese, you got some chicken, you know, you got a few things in the freezer. And then all of a sudden that fridge and the freezer is not working and you ain't got no ice. Things just take a turn, man. And people forget how reliant we are on all these things, you know, just modern life. So, again, my intent is not to like paint this gloom and doom and like all this big what if, and all of a sudden that's where you have to be getting a hold of Jewel Case. What I'm trying to say is, you know, if you got a little bit of spare time, just think about the things that, you know, that are happening and that are coming down the road. And if we can be an option for you and if we can offer a solution, we're happy to have a very non-pressure, non-expectation conversations about what we can offer to you.
Right on. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure having both of you guys on the show today. You know, and everyone, you know, go to Jewel Case's website and check it out. I mean, honestly, we have one. We love it. I fully endorse it. I'm not paid to say that. I literally paid them to get one. So, I mean, what I'm telling you is just straight from my heart and wallet. You know, my own personal investment was to get one of these, and I'm glad that I have it. So, Guys, once again, I appreciate you coming on the show today, sharing the Jewel Case mission statement and the future and the new product lines and everything with us. And Alex, what day next week did you say I can come by and pick up that railgun?
let's make sure we get that all designed in for you. You want a wide spread or you want a tight?
I'd like it tight. Right on. Well, guys, I'll be in touch. I can hardly wait to come over and check out the Sigma and have you guys over here for a visit. And we'll all be in touch soon.
Talk to you guys later.
Yeah. Folks, we've got to go
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you all.
You bet. Folks, we've got to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got another incredible guest and some great conversation that we're going to have.
This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Burris Optics. Find what matters.
All right, we're back here at the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast studio. And, you know, we just had a great guest on. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Tucker, have you got like a baseball game going on in the background?
1 second, Steve. I have one thing. What's the name on it? Well, is it a repair? Or new? Okay. Give me 1 second, Steve.
You bet.
I got my last customer of the day here.
Oh, shit. No big deal, man. No big deal. Hey, folks, just so you know, we're literally, our guest in this segment is Tucker Johnson. He's literally working right now in the Everly Stock retail store in Boise, Idaho. He's literally working, handling a customer right now. He's so dedicated to do the show and bring the Everly Stock message. He's literally helping a customer right now.
Yeah, one last customer. Got to help
one him. Last customer right now because, man, he's working late. It's like, it's almost six.
Yep.
Yeah, it's almost six where he's at working.
All right, guys, I'm back.
No problem. We're just telling the viewers, you know, and the listeners to the podcast that, you know, you're Tucker Johnson. You're literally helping a customer at that moment in the Everly Stock retail store.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Got to stay open.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not open, you're closed. And if you're closed, you ain't making no money, you know?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So how's everything at Everly Stock these days?
You know, it's going really good. We've grown a lot this year and, we've got a ton of new products coming out, this spring and summer that we're really excited about, that they were previewed at SHOT Show. Can't give you any more than that, at this moment, but, really stay tuned for a ton more clothing and, a new bino harness that we're really excited about.
Wait, but you premiered it at SHOT Show and you can't talk about it?
Well, the bino harness, just to give you a little bit of insight, it'll probably be the first bino harness on the market that's modular. So you'll be able to take, different pouches and different things on and off of it to suit your needs, whether you're a bow hunter or rifle hunter. So we'll have like a bear mace, pouches, rangefinder pouches. We're going to have an integrated, hand warmer for those long cold days of glassing, as well as the top lid. You can keep the top lid open and or closed. So if you're taking your binoculars in and out of your bino harness a lot, you can just leave the top lid open and slide them in and out as you need it.
Sounds like it's going to be big enough I could put an AR-15 inside of it. I mean, or is it going to be fairly compact?
It is going to be an extremely compact setup. You'll be able to configure it any way you want, but our standard large will fit a set of 12x50s, but it's very slim for being able to hold a pair of binoculars that big.
Wow. That's cool.
It is. Very cool.
You know, for any of you out there that don't know or haven't been paying attention to the show, we've used the Everly Stock packs for years. I love the fact that they've got the gun boot in the back and I can literally slide my gun inside of basically an enclosed area and hike with my hands free, use trekking poles, whatever it might be, for rugged backcountry hunting, especially day hunting, like my X1 pack. I love that. Yeah. So I go back a long time. You know, I remember when Glenn made the first packs. I mean, you and I talked about that. One time Tucker was like, literally, I remember like going in and looking at like the first generation of Everly Stock packs. I was like, damn, these are cool. So I love that gun boot. Clothing. I remember coming in when the clothing line first came out, you know, and tried on the jacket. I still have the jacket, the pants. I mean, look, the evolution of a product line starts with a concept and then it develops over time to fit the customers. Right. And,
correct.
The first generation of pants that came out, you know, I think I've always said, I felt like I was in a Def Leppard, you know, music video. They were skin tight. They could have had leopard print on them. And they left absolutely nothing to the imagination as to what I probably look like naked. But not a pretty sight. But anyway, they were tight and everything else. And they redefined athletic fit. But then you were telling me last time we were together that kind of the pants have come a long ways and they're more comfortable and stuff like that. Now, kind of talk to me a little bit about the clothing line and how it's starting to evolve and what people should start to see here very soon.
Well, you know, when I came on with Eberly Stock, there was quite a few employees hired. So they hired me, they hired a new customer service representative, and they hired a new designer. His name's Nate. Well, Nate's background is all gear related. So packs, pouches, that kind of stuff. And Nate went to work on a little bit on our clothing line, and he came out with our initial new jacket, the Thunderbolt Mountain Parka, and he absolutely nailed it. Yeah, was there a few little changes that need to happen? Yes, but overall it was really awesome. Well, Glenn saw the need to hire a clothing designer. So we hired a clothing designer by the name of Troy, who's got over 20 years experience in the industry designing clothing.
Hopefully not for Def Leppard.
No, definitely not for Def Leppard. So, I could not tell you Troy's background or what companies he worked for, but he's always been involved in some kind of like an outdoor aspect, whether it was, you know, hunting clothing or, you know, just outdoor apparel for the active individual. And so Troy went to work redoing the clothing design and adding new pieces. So we've got a whole new line of merino wool base layers coming out, as well as gloves. In fact, let me grab one of the packets here so I don't lie to you guys. So I can tell you how much is coming out. So it looks like we've got the Trinity Peak jacket's already a staple of Eberly Stock. That's our rain shell. We've got the Trinity Peak 2.0 jacket and pants coming out, as well as the Seven Devils rain shell jacket and pants. And those are going to be a four-way stretch ripstop membrane that is waterproof. So we'll have a true layering system that you can use that is four-way stretch, which is pretty neat, especially for rainproof stuff. For as far as our rain pants are concerned, the Seven Devils rain pant is going to be a full hip zip, so you can get out of them without having to take all your clothes off. And they're going to come with a set of suspenders, which I think are absolutely fantastic. I really like the Sitka pants when they had suspenders, and I think it's going to be a game changer, especially in the rain shell game. And then we're just tweaking some stuff with some current products that we already have, like the Afterburner pant, which you're familiar with, Steve, that was our skin-tight pant.
Def Lip.
And we've changed that. We're adding a bunch of new colors as well as a fit, the new fit for those. And then we have our Salmon River pant, which is my favorite, which I wear every day, which is just a very versatile pair of pants for every day. You can hunt in them. You can go to work in them. You can do everything in them. It's a great pant for traveling, any kind of EDC stuff. It's got a double front pocket, which is really neat. So you can separate your phone and your wallet in the same pocket.
Oh, wow,
cool. As well as some zippered leg pockets. Moving right along.
Curious, what'd you call that first generation of pants? What was the name on them?
The Afterburner.
Yeah. And I remember when I put those on, it was the first time that I thought that while being Def Leppard, you could see my white snake. Definitely mid-80s. Mid-80s all the way, boys. Let me tell you.
TMI.
To say that they are form-fitting is an understatement.
Yeah.
I'm still getting the flow back in my legs.
Yeah, absolutely. We got some really cool stuff coming out.
Yeah. Tucker, it's Travis. First of all, thank you for being on the show. And if you remember back last summer, I came and visited you, and you asked me what my goals were. I was looking for a pack and your recommendation, and I absolutely loved it as I took it to Alaska on a grizzly bear hunt, was the F1 mainframe with the Vapor 5000 bag.
Absolutely.
And so anything new in 22, just in the pack world, or anything with that specific frame system that you're changing for 2022 at all?
We're not going to tweak the F1 a whole lot because we're trying to develop a new frame that will work. So you can either pick an F1 or this new frame.
Yep.
I don't have a lot of details on the new frame other than it will not have the 90 degree load shelf. It'll be more of a load panel, similar to other packs in the industry that you're familiar with.
Yep. And for the listener and for everybody listening, the F1 mainframe is basically a pack frame that's got two zippers on either side of it, and you can interchange the size of the actual bag that goes on the pack. You can also get a gun boot system with it and some other things, but it is an absolute game changer in the field, no matter what you're doing, hunting in Alaska or even on horseback for that matter in the backcountry. I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. The F1, if you configure it the right way, can go from an 800 cubic inch day pack to a 7,500 cubic inch multi-day bag.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, Tucker, you run the retail store, right? The one in Boise?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
So, like, tell me about the store. Like, I've seen this thing evolve over time. Like, it used to be there was just packs for sale. Now there's packs and clothing. And now there's all sorts of stuff for sale in there. Kind of talk to me about what are you guys doing in the store to service hunters who are traveling through or anybody that happens to be traveling through the Boise area or the local area market hunters?
Well, you know, I kind of got thrown into the store. I have never worked. I am not a retail guy. I've never worked retail a day in my life until I took over the retail store. And when Glenn gave it to me, his words were, make it cool. And that was it. And so I've kind of gone back and forth doing some different things. Obviously adding the clothing, adding accessories in here, but trying to get other things. Like, we partnered with Kinetrek boots. We carry Kinetreks here in the store. I try and have at least all of the sizes available to hunters coming through. And I carry two models. I carry the Mountain Extreme, which is the tall 12-inch boot, I believe. And then I carry the Hard Scrabble, which is going to be your 6-inch hiker, very similar to the Mountain Extreme in construction. And then I'm also carrying two Vets tripods in the store when I can get them. And the nice thing about two Vets is they make everything from your ultra lightweight backcountry hunting tripod all the way up to what they call the quick deploy tripod, which I can hang off of. And I'm 270 pounds. I'm not a small man. So there's a little bit of everything in here. I would say that we definitely cater to the hunting and tactical community. But we try not to get too crazy carrying a bunch of outside gear. I want you to come into the store and be immersed in what is Eberle stock.
Sure.
We hired a new creative director this past year, and he came from a company called Beyond Clothing. They create very, very high-end tactical clothing, quality clothing, and it is fantastic stuff. He came on and is changing the brand, how the brand looks for everybody or towards everybody. And all kinds of neat stuff. We're actually in the process of redoing the store. In fact, today I've been on a concrete grinder, grinding the floors off so we can recoat them and make them look cool. But we're changing the whole store. We're doing a big, like, mural in the back wall of the store. Steve, you're familiar with it. We've just got those two cabinets on either side of the store with packs in it. Well, that is going to be the pack wall. So on that wall, there's going to be like a 3D topographical map of Boise with a backlit area of the Boise River going through it, and then obviously just Eberle stock plastered all over it, and then that whole wall will be just all of our packs, the whole damn thing.
Cool.
And then we'll be able to, we're doing Sega walls, which are kind of like an LED backlit wall, so at night or during the day you can look at our windows and see our featured items, whether we're doing something, setting up something for turkey season or elk season or EDC or long range shooting, you know, all those little niche things that Eberle stock is involved in.
Got it.
So Steve and I are lucky as we live driving distance from Boise and we can go visit the store and so forth. But for our listeners on today's show, is there any big box locations that carry, you know, your packs and clothing lines? Like, where can, other than online, is there any places that they can find your products?
We have dealers, and I couldn't name off all those dealers because we have a ton of them. Like Sportsman's Warehouse carries a lot of our stuff. Cabela's has in the past. They haven't been doing a great job of it lately. We all know the fiasco, which is Cabela's right now. We are in Shields, and Boise is getting a Shields, which is really cool. That's a great company. I really like that store. I think they do have a great presence with the products that they have in there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not in Boise and you're trying to find a local dealer or at least go look at some of our gear, so maybe a dealer doesn't have the exact product you're looking for, but you just want to see how it's built, how it's constructed, definitely head over to our website. We have a dealer locator. Punch in your zip code, and it'll bring up the closest dealer to you. Give them a phone call. See if they have any of our gear. And definitely don't be afraid to order online. Our shipping team is amazing. We usually have stuff shipped within 24 hours of you placing your order.
Cool.
Yep. I just want to add one thing, you know, to everybody that's watching, the quality and the workmanship of Eberle stock packs and clothing is outstanding. I'm super impressed with it, and put it through the ringer. I mean, I still have the X1 Euro pack that I've done. I don't even know how many hunts, and just like grueling stuff. And it is like feels like brand new still. Like, it's so tough.
I had that one pack for something like 6 years, and I gave it away on some like Christmas special, and it was literally soaked in blood. Like, yeah, this thing had been destroyed for maybe even 7 years. I'd had this pack for so long. It was not destroyed. It was just nasty.
Yeah.
And I was like,
but the durability.
Yeah.
Of the
durability. Yeah. So I gave it away. Literally, I shipped it to this guy. Nasty.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, there's some adventure blood on this pack. There's things on this pack that you get to, you inherit that experience, right? That guy thought it was best. I promise you, this day he's still running that same pack.
Yep.
And so that everybody knows, Everly Stock has never paid Steve's Outdoor Adventures a penny. Not 1 cent. That does piss me off, just by the way. So, but never paid me a penny, but we've always used their packs.
Yep.
Enjoy the jacket that I've got. I know you like yours. I see you wearing it all the time. Mm-hmm. But why do I use the pack? If they're not paying me, why do I use the pack? I use the pack because I like it. And I love the gun boot. I like the fit and feel, but more than anything, I like the fact that I can get a pack and I can use it for 6 or 7 years, not destroy it. And I can try to destroy it, but it will not come apart. It's always there. That's why I use the Everly Stock packs, because honestly, fit and finish is good. I mean, Tucker, let's change gears. Let's talk hunting. What's in your future for 2022? What are you doing this year? What are your plans?
You know, Steve, this has been a funny year for me. I had a lady blow a stop sign and I totaled my truck. And so that was an expense I wasn't expecting.
I've seen that truck.
Yeah,
that's no good. Right? I hope everybody's
truck
okay.
No good, man. And you know, funny thing is, I bought the exact same truck, same color, same model, 1 year newer.
Yeah.
did her insurance not buy you a new truck?
Oh, my truck wasn't new, Steve. I mean, come on, the truck that they gave me a lot more money than I thought they were going to give me for my truck.
Well,
I had.
That's fine. Yeah.
You know, cool. And I still was cheap about it and talked the lady I bought this truck off of down to $6,800 because I refused to drive anything new. But honestly, Idaho has changed a little bit and for the better. 2019, 2020, the influx of out-of-state hunters on all of our over-the-counter tags was killing our units that were really close to Boise. I'm a family man. I have two kids. I don't get to get out as much as I like to hunt. So these close units of Boise are nice for me because I can disappear and go hunt for a week and usually be pretty successful. And since Idaho has put a cap on the number of out-of-state hunters we can have in these over-the-counter units, I noticed last year was a lot nicer. I was able to go to my hunting camp and set up and not see another human being for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So for this year, I'm probably going to stick pretty close to home. There is talks of going down to Wyoming and doing an antelope hunt, which I really want to do still. And honestly, just tear up the outdoors. I mean, I've got two boys that are 5 and 2, and I've got a brand new side by side, and we need to burn the rubber off of it this summer. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Hey, if you get hit by another driver, and you need another truck, I do have a one owner 2010 Ford F-350 crew cab, white with a flatbed, winches front and back, has been treated very nicely the entire time I've had it. Don't look at me that way, Travis. And I'm joking. What? I wouldn't sell that to a friend.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I know where you're coming from. All of a sudden you got to get another truck. So
yeah. Well, best of luck this fall, Tucker, regardless of what you end up doing.
Yeah. And just curious, you know, if you do go out of sight, like, where are you going to go in Wyoming? Do you have an area you like?
We're really in the kind of the infancy of planning this Wyoming hunt, and I've been meaning to actually give you a call and talk about that.
That's why Steve's bringing it up, by the way.
No, I was actually just curious if he was, you know, if you'd stacked up a whole bunch of preference points and knew where you wanted to go. And
no, I have absolutely zero preference points.
That's okay. And, there's a lot of easy to draw stuff.
Yeah. A lot for antelope. Yeah. There's lots of zero point draws.
Yeah. I mean, if it was an elk tag or something like that, yeah, like I wouldn't even attempt to do it, but antelope in the state of Wyoming, I think is a pretty, easy bet, on drawing a tag, at least from everything I've looked at.
Yep. For sure.
We were looking closer towards the Dakotas. I'm not familiar with the area. Just from talking to the guys over at Eastman's.
Yep.
They've been really good. If we're trying to do if any of the guys are trying to do some out of state thing,
sure.
We call the guys at Eastman's for the most part. We know Ike and his brother really well, and they're pretty good about pointing us in the right direction, and or yourself, Steve. I think obviously Steve, I think, has a little bit better knowledge in certain things because he doesn't write a magazine. He books hunts.
Yeah. Well, they're experts on your public land hunting accesses and draws and stuff like that. I'm, you know, at Steve's Outdoor Adventures, we're more inclined to be, let's say, private lands, outfitted type stuff. They're more DIY. We both have our areas of specialty, but without a doubt, they're the public land experts in North America for sure.
They're fantastic. I really enjoy having Ike and his family in here and his crew. They're really awesome people to work with, and they've done a lot of great things for our brand. They're definitely the company that we wanted to partner with for our packs. And I don't know how that started at all, but they've done really good for us in that respect. But you know, things are just changing, ever changing at Everly Stock.
Well, I'll tell you how it started with Eastman's. It started at Eastman's when Glenn paid them instead of me.
Yeah, probably true.
No, it actually is. I was there.
It's so funny how this industry is huge, Steve.
Oh yeah,
but it's really small at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
isn't that the truth?
Yeah, we all know each other. That's the funny thing.
Oh yeah. You know, I remember when me and you first got hooked up, and Glenn asked me what I did for the weekend. I told him I met this great big guy named Steve West. He had all these guns and found out I was a gun nut, and I didn't know what I got myself into, and I burned a shitload of ammo.
Yeah, loads of ammo. That was an expensive weekend for me. Loads of ammo.
And, it was a real expensive weekend for you. I had a great weekend. And Glenn was like, well, shit, we need to get back in contact with Steve. I haven't seen him in years, you know? And it was like he was talking about an old friend, which is always neat, you know?
Yeah.
Glenn, it's amazing to me who Glenn doesn't know.
Yeah.
Because he knows everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys follow Glenn on social media. If you don't,
I do.
You should.
He likes to fly.
Yes. And he is nuts.
Yeah. Going all these crazy places and I don't know, just these weekend trips and stuff. It's really interesting to see how he lives his life outside of, Everly Stock.
Right. You know, I haven't seen Glenn in a month and a half.
He is outside of Everly Stock right now. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
He's living his best life.
Yeah.
He really is. He's doing what he should have done, I think, 10 or 15 years ago. But he's doing it now. And we have some really awesome people at the helm of Everly Stock, our marketing director, our general manager, Tanner. They're fantastic people. And they're no nonsense. Get in there, get the job done and make money. You know, that's what we're here to do.
Yep.
And obviously provide the best product we can for our customers. Perfect. Everly Stock has never been known for being the lightest pack in the industry, but it's the only pack in the industry that you can hook two, trucks up to and tow a vehicle out with.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? True. That's true.
It is. They last. In fact, we're dealing with a kid. I cannot remember his last name. His name's Caleb. He's a guide up in Alaska. And he's this short little sawed off dude. I mean, he ain't even any bigger than a drink of water. And he's putting grizzly bear hides on the F1 and packing them out.
Yeah. I believe it.
There's guys up there that are using the product to its fullest, and that's what we want.
Right on. Well, I mean, look, it's always great to catch up, and it's always good to kick things over in the podcast too. That's how pissed I am that I'm not sponsored by Everly Stock. Anyway, I love to catch up with Glenn when I can. I got a chance to swing by and see him that one day, and it's still been a few years since then. I go back to the early days and when we were first firing up the TV show and I was trying to figure out what packs to wear and what to do. And Glenn was like, come over to Boise. We'll hook you up and let's see what we can put on you for a pack. And, he was just a good guy to talk to. And he explained so much to me about packs and how to wear the weight on your body. And I learned a lot. And then once I received that pack, and I've bought lots of other packs over the years. I mean, I've got 10 different brands probably across the board. And the most versatile, especially, for North American big game hunting, has always been my Everly Stock packs.
I agree.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, look, Tucker, it's been a blast having you on the show today. I mean, seriously, it's badass. I'm going to swing over and see you next time I'm in Boise. Real quick for everybody out there listening, give them the Eberle Stock website. Let them know where they can go to look and learn everything about the Eberle Stock packs and clothing line and everything else.
It's really easy, folks. Head over to eberlestock.com and it's available 24/7.
And for those of you that don't know how Eberle Stock is spelled, as EBERLESTOCK.com.
That was impressive.
Yeah. I've just been spelling it for 25 years. Anyway, hey, Tucker, once again, glad to have you on the show, man. Appreciate your time tonight. And if you ever need anything, give me a holler. Next time I'm down for a big powder burn off, I'll have you in for the Magnum calibers.
Nice. Absolutely. That's what I'm here for. All right. Punishment.
Yeah. All right, brother. All right, well, Tucker. Hey, you take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Later. You
too. Bye. Well, everybody, that segment ran a little bit long. We've got to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, Travis and I are going to talk about a couple of more hunting items and some additional things that we think are going to help you be more prepared for the upcoming spring hunting seasons. We'll be right back.
This segment of the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Bergara Rifles, where the people truly make the difference.
Wow, we've had a great podcast today. We've had some incredibly, you know, talented and intelligent people from Jewel Case on the phone. I mean, the things they're designing are amazing.
Tucker from Eberle Stock. Yeah, Tucker, great products.
Look, love Tucker. I mean, no joke. When he came down in front of it, incidentally, I just thought about this. It was Jaime from Jewel Case. Now, I just realized. I've totally forgot they were buddies.
Oh.
Because Jaime brought him down, and we spent a whole weekend. We must have shot 1,000 rounds of Magnum rifle ammunition. I totally forgot that there's a tie in there, that one of them introduced me to the other. Now I feel guilty that I totally forgot that. But, I mean, yeah, Tucker, awesome dude. He goes by Bearded Rifleman on Instagram. Yeah, he's got a great big beard. He's a great big dude. Well, he's in the Marine Corps. That's great where guy. He and Jaime connect. Yeah, great guy. If you're in the Boise area or if you're passing through the Boise area, go to the Eberle Stock Retail Store. It is badass place to shop. And even if you don't buy anything, just go BS with Tucker. It's fun.
And sometimes on the weekends they have events. So I've been there before where they have vendors and food, barbecue. It was cool.
I missed out. I was supposed to be there that weekend and you were the one that got to go.
It was awesome.
I got screwed. Anyway. All right. Let's talk about the spring.
Yep.
You're going to Saskatchewan, Alberta on a road trip. Talk to me about that real quick. How are you planning that out?
Exactly. So kind of back-to-back hunts. And I did a hunt like that back-to-back a couple of years back. Really enjoyed it. At that time, visiting two brand new camps that I'd never been before. In fact, I think it was my first spring bear hunts at Steve's Outdoor Adventures. But done a few bear hunts since. And I'm going to go back up there and check out a new place for me, along with adding some clients in camp. And then, but before that, stopping off again and a camp that I've been before in Saskatchewan, which is going to be awesome. And I'm really looking forward to, like we said earlier in the show, the bears haven't been hunted in a couple of years, right? Well, so
if you better hold out.
That's what I was just going to say.
If you shoot Boo Boo, you hold out for Yogi.
Yep.
If you shoot Boo Boo, I'm going to kick your ass when you get back.
Not going to happen, Steve.
Not going to happen. Yeah. All right. Seasoned vet now. You're not the rook that came up originally. Me personally, I'm waiting for the Alaska draw results to come out. I want to see if I'm going to draw that big, you know, brown bear tag for the island. My 4-year wait's up. I killed a big bear in 2016. I didn't draw last year. I'm hoping this year's my year. 50-50, right?
Yep.
I'm hoping it's my time. We'll find out sure enough, soon enough.
When do the draw results come out?
February 18th. So I've got another
couple weeks.
Yeah, two weeks tops-ish. Yeah. So 2 weeks from now, I'm going to find out if I draw that. And then I can kind of make my plans accordingly afterward. But I'm also really thinking about going on that Coastal Mountains BC hunt that we were talking about earlier, that area that hasn't been hunted for not just 2 years, but like 5, 6, 8 years, something. It's been a while since somebody went in there. So I'm pumped up for that. John's going to the Alaskan Peninsula. He's going to go down and get his big brown bear. I mean, all in all, it's a pretty solid spring schedule. I don't know what I'm going to do. If I don't draw that tag, I'm kind of up in the air as to what I'm going to do.
It'll be good. Good to get some new Steve's Outdoor Adventures spring episodes, right? Because the last couple of years with COVID,
We haven't been able to hunt.
It's been tough. Yep.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to try and put a little bit more effort into the turkey season.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of course depends on when I'm going to go to, you know, a Fog Neck, or if I get to go to a Fog Neck. But that whole 410 craze, the 410 mafia has got me. I'm going to shoot our new Pendleton Ammo TSS shells like you did last year.
Yeah. I swear, once you harvest a turkey and carry a 410 in the field, you'll never go to any other gun.
Yeah. And I want to film maybe 2 or 3 turkey hunts on the ranch this year. You know, Vanessa in the office, she's like fired up to hunt turkeys now.
Got to shoot that tom.
She put in her time last year and didn't get one killed, and she deserves one this year. So we got to make sure she gets one. You and I hopefully can pick off a couple of big long beards, and it'd be neat if we could do them with the 410s and the 20s. I mean, it just stay off the heavies. I mean, because that TSS is just deadly out to distance. So,
and really, we're down to 2 months out from turkey season, getting there.
Tick tock. It's coming up fast. Talking about tick tock and deadlines, Montana and Colorado applications come up. I think in Montana, like mid-March. Mid-March.
And I think Colorado, April 5th, if I remember.
For Colorado. So you're about to get real busy on applications and whatnot.
Yep.
I mean, things are ticking down in terms of time. People think, well, the fall's a long time away. Let me tell you something. If you're not on the ball with license applications, bookings, all of that stuff way in advance.
Yep. You're more screwed. So than ever.
You're screwed. Yeah. Yep. I mean, the number of people going into the field these days and doing these hunts, booking, calling us for information is off the charts. And I can't stress enough how important it is to think way in advance, get with us way in advance. We're going to be getting with the clients that are already booked for this coming year and getting them solidified, because we've got to have their license applications in. Some of these people have preference points for the last couple of years. We're going to make sure that they're drawing tags. We're going to make sure that they're getting the tags they need. And if they don't draw, we've got to get their landowner tags, you know, obtained, make sure that those vouchers get converted, make sure that everybody gets in the field with the license that they need.
For sure.
It all starts with that first license deadline in the winter.
Yep. So it's that time of year.
It is. It is indeed. Well, speaking of time, that's about all the time we've got to the podcast today. It's been a great show. A great guest. I've got another one I'm loading up right now with some badass guests.
Nice.
I must bring it on you later, but it'd be another one of those high energy podcasts that will rock and roll.
I'm down.
Right on, right on. Well, everybody, we appreciate you listening to the Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast. Until next time, get outside, get in the field, have some fun, and we'll see you then.
Later, everybody.
The Steve's Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by Farwide, the game-changing free app that puts outdoor intelligence in the palm of your hand.